I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Ron Bloomberg. He's writer and director of the new play, The Queen of Madison Avenue, and Barbara Hatch, cast member. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Great to be here. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Now, this is a play based on a real person, Abby Walsh. Who was she?
Well, actually, she's not a real person. That's a name I've given her.
Because, but is she based on a real person?
It's based on a real person. It's based on, actually, this woman in advertising in the Mad Men era of the 1960s who became the most successful, the highest paid executive in advertising in the 60s and 70s. And she went on to have a terrific career, very talented, very charismatic, irreverent, funny, cute, smart, and knew how to play the game, and outdid the boys.
Yeah.
And she's a wonderful character. And it's played by Ally McGraw. And I have a cast of thousands, which we'll
pretty much
get
a cast
into.
Of thousands, yeah.
Now, you have the young Abby and the older Abby.
Yes, young Abby is played by a very skilled actress, Sheridan Johnson, and it's actually two stories going at once. It's current day Abby Walsh, who's in her 70s, and young Abby, who's climbing the ladder on the way up.
And this is set in the, when she's on the way up, this is what, in the 70s?
60s and 70s.
Okay. Now, it's funny because, I mean, so many people, including me, have watched Mad Men, mm-hmm. the television series about advertising set in that time. It starts in the late 50s and goes through the early mid-60s. And it really kind of glamorizes the work of getting people to buy stuff they don't need.
And
stuff that's bad for them. And I have to say, I mean, you know, you can't help but watch that show, or indeed, you know, it's the same with this play. You think, wow, this is really cool work.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in the play, we actually start out with, I meet the problem head on. You know, if you've come to see Mad Men, the Broadway version, you've come to the wrong place because it's not that.
It's not the glamour.
No.
It's not and, about the
and,
glamour.
And what it is Mad Men actually glossed over the fact that when they first came on, there happened to be a creative revolution taking place in advertising in the late 50s and early 60s, mostly by Doyle Dane Birnbeck, a great advertising agency, who did such ads as Think Small, the Volkswagen ad, We're Only Number Two. Bill Birnbeck changed the belief system. Everybody believed in big cars. And there came Think Small. They did a campaign that's still running today. We're Only Number Two. We Try Harder. Avis.
Right.
How clever. You know, they did Polaroid and so forth. So, and this woman came along about that time, a little later, and she became just a whirlwind. She's just in the Advertising Hall of Fame. She had all the money in the world. She sold her agency for $250 million in the early 90s. But what she did, if I may, what she did was, well, let me back up a bit. I was in advertising in the 60s, and I was also in the anti-smoking movement in the very beginning. And I discovered a young fellow who just graduated from Columbia Law School named John Van Zandt. He had a one-room office, no secretary, just an answering machine. He took the tobacco companies to the Supreme Court himself and won. And what he won was for every cigarette commercials in prime time, they had to give an anti-cigarette commercial. So at that point, I joined him. He called all the shots. I was just helping him. And that anti-smoking commercial, for the first time, informed the public of the dangers of smoking. The Surgeon General's report had been out 2 years earlier, but it was ignored. So this one commercial, in prime time every night, was powerful. And after 1 year, we had cigarette sales did not increase for the first time in years. But then two things happened. John decided to take cigarettes off radio and television. And he did. And when they took that off, they took our anti-smoking commercial and put it at 3 a.m. as a PSA, and no one heard it. The other thing was, along came Abby Walsh. And she took a cigarette account when no creative agency would. And she did a fabulous campaign aimed at young women.
Virginia Slims.
Well, yes, for the sake of my play, yes, Virginia Slims. You've come a long way, baby.
Now, in real life, was it a different?
Yes.
Are you not at liberty to say?
No.
You're making that not at liberty to say face.
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. First of all, I'm not doing a documentary. I'm doing a play.
Yeah.
And I've taken liberties.
Based on.
And so forth. Yeah. But this play tries to explore. Now that she's in her 70s, she has all the money in the world, great reputation from the advertising industry. Does it ever creep into her mind? The hundreds of thousands of people that lives she helped shorten by using her talent. I mean, she knew cigarettes will kill you.
So she's basically responsible for the death of some number of women, essentially.
The premature death, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like a symbol. There are other people who work on things. McDonald's, I mean, but landmines. Someone's actually sitting there working on a landmine that we know will kill people.
Right.
And so that's what I'm trying to explore.
And so this is the play, The Queen of Madison Avenue. Barbara Hatch, what's your role?
I am in present-day Abby Walsh's life. She has a son. She's not a terribly good mother. She has a son by her first marriage. And I play the role of the girlfriend of her son. And so I'm dealing with my own issues in my life, and we sort of end up bonding a little bit. She doesn't let a lot of people into her life, but she lets Jenny into her life. So, and I'll be playing opposite Matt Pewitt, who's playing her son, a local actor who is now actually in Albuquerque. It's an amazing cast. There are some scenes. An actor will come on just for a scene to sort of move the plot forward. We have Nicholas Ballas. We have
Jonathan Richards.
Jonathan Richards, who plays her
lover, who plays Abby's lover.
Yes.
And he's in the anti-smoking moment. So
right.
There's a lot of conflict there. A
lot of conflict.
And, the cast is exceptional, and it's a cast of thousands. I have 19 actors, I think. And some of the best. And you know, it's interesting. In Santa Fe and Albuquerque, there's a small pool of actors who could be working in New York, L.A., London. And I think I got most of them in this play.
He did a great job of pulling together some amazing people. And this is quite interesting. It is a staged reading, but it's truly a staged reading. There are many short scenes, and we move back and forth in time.
They're not just sitting in chairs.
No, but yeah,
they're moving.
Right. Yeah, it's not 20 actors standing on stage with a script in their hand, lights up, lights down. This is actually going to be semi-staged.
They do have scripts in her hand, but I think after 15 minutes you'll forget they have the script in her hand.
So
these are very skilled performers.
It's one night only, Thursday the 13th of March at 7 o'clock at the Lenzic. Are you going to make it into a full production?
Well, I hope to. I mean, this is a play that cries to be on Broadway in New York because that's the advertising hub still.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously we'd love to see it there. What are the chances of that? I don't know. 1,000 to 1. But you got to try, you know. So we'll see. But I think the people will enjoy this show because, first of all, it's an hour and 20 minutes. It's not 2 hours and 40 minutes. And there's no intermission. It's just 1:20 and then they're out, you know.
Yeah. Ron Bloomberg is writer and director of the new play, The Queen of Madison Avenue. One performance Thursday night, the 13th of March at 7 o'clock at the Lenzic. Barbara Hatch is a cast member in that play. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte. Thanks.